Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Last night, the mostly virtual and weirdly entertaining 2020 Emmys kicked off with a bang when the beloved comedy, this is its title, not a swear word, S-C-H-I-T-T-S Creek, broke a record by winning 7 primetime Emmys in the comedy categories, including writing, best comedy, plus completely sweeping all the acting awards. Zendaya also made history at 24, becoming the youngest winner of the Best Lead Actress in a Drama for her portrayal of Rue in the HBO series Euphoria. And the acclaimed limited series Watchmen also won big, taking home the award for Best Limited Series, as well as acting awards for Yahya Abdul-Mateen II and Regina King. King wore a Breonna Taylor t-shirt, as did Uzo Aduba, who won for playing Shirley Chisholm in Mrs. America. And all but favorite Succession walked away with Best Drama. Okay, now that we've celebrated all that great TV from the past, let's look forward to some new series. Usually fall is prime TV watching season, with countless new shows slated to premiere and old favorites set to return. But of course, coronavirus has thrown a serious wrench in the works. So what can we expect from this unusual fall TV lineup? Who's filming? What shows are worth checking out? Here to give us a fall TV preview review is Alan Sepinwall, chief TV critic at Rolling Stone and friend of the show. Hi, Alan.
So I'm glad that you spelled out the name of that other show that won a bunch of Emmys so I don't have to freak you out again by saying it.
All right, let's talk about how TV's being made right now, if any is. How have shows started returning to filming?
A number of sort of broadcast network shows returned to filming over the last couple of weeks. They've been doing a lot of social distancing. You've seen photos from the sets of things like Law & Order Special Victims Unit and Grey's Anatomy where they're spreading people out. They're literally spreading up the days. Shows that film an episode in 8 days are now taking 10 to do it. So they're all going to come a little bit more slowly. But they've finally been able to at least go back into production on some things. But that means that everything is going to come a lot later. Whereas usually the night after the Emmys is a big night for broadcast television. And there would be a lot of stuff premiering tonight. And now not so much.
Do we have any sense of how content will be affected?
I think we've heard a lot of talk about how, you know, we're going to see fewer fight scenes, fewer love scenes, fewer scenes in general of people interacting close together, and whether some of these shows, I know Grey's Anatomy, for instance, is going to tell stories about the hospital dealing with the pandemic. I think other shows are not going to be set in the pandemic at all, but either way, things are going to look a little different. You're going to see far fewer crowd scenes, or if they are, they're going to be CGI generated. It's going to be a pretty sparse, you know, lo-fi version of television for quite a while, I imagine.
So do you think this fall season actually is going to have long-term effects on network TV? What kind of effects could it have?
I don't know. The broadcast network business sort of relies on the fact that they're going to launch a lot of stuff now, and they can't do that. And they're going to have to wait a few months. And even then, I just feel like the broadcast network business in general is already in so much trouble. And premiere week was one of their few things that kind of worked well for them and got a lot of attention, you know, even at a time when there's so many other shows. And now it's going away and things are going to premiere in dribs and drabs starting in like late October and mostly in November when they come. And so I think that this is definitely going to put a hurt on a lot of businesses that couldn't afford to be hurt much more than they already have been. But I think if nothing else, it's going to force them to be on more of a year-round calendar, because the shows that we've been able to watch during the pandemic have been ones that filmed beforehand. You know, they kind of banked all their episodes, and the broadcast networks like to shoot pretty close to air, and I just don't know that that's feasible anymore.
My guest is Alan Sepinwall, chief TV critic at Rolling Stone. Okay, let's get to some recommendations. You have given us the new season of Fargo, 4th season starring Chris Rock as the head of a gang in 1950s Kansas, and their black businessmen who take over a certain business from Italian businessmen, wink, wink. You called it at once the show's most ambitious and most formulaic season and also fun as hell. What's ambitious about this new season of Fargo?
Well, there's a cast of about a million characters. I gave up pretty early on trying to keep track of all the names. So it's a lot of people, a lot of great actors. You know, you mentioned Chris Rock. There's Jason Schwartzman, Tim Olyphant, Ben Whishaw. Just lots and lots of, you know, you're going to see a lot of people go, hey, it's that guy. I love him or I love her. And it's telling a big story about what it means to be an immigrant in America, what it means to be a minority in America, how the system of America in general kind of pits minority groups against one another so that they cannot in turn team up and try to change the system. So it has a lot on its mind that feels incredibly timely. So that's great. At the same time, it's also, it feels very much like a replay of that show's second season, which was about another gang war in the 70s. And it's a lot of fun, and I enjoyed it. I don't know that it's necessarily as deep as the show has been at other times, but I'm just so glad to have it back, and I'm so glad they were able to finish filming the season, which got disrupted by the pandemic. They were two episodes away from being done for what was supposed to premiere back in April, and so now we're going to get it starting on Sunday.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of the trailer of the fourth season of Fargo.
This is America, sir. Last time I checked, not Soviet Russia.
I'm teaching him how the world works.
And how's that?
It's dog eat dog.
That's how dogs work. A little more complicated.
You got any bennies, zoomers, a little chicken powder? I've had a world-class day.
Holy Christmas.
Give me some.
Well, for years and years.
What the devil are you two up to?
They say that money has been
being outlaws.
The root of all evil to a lot of men.
Girl, you got a panty on your head.
It looks as good as it sounds. Tell me your thoughts on Chris Rock, dramatic actor.
He's good. I don't know that you're going to watch the show and say, oh my God, Chris, what range Chris Rock has, what power he has. You know, it's sort of a Sam Jackson role, but he's not giving it, you know, the Sam Jackson verb. But he's very convincing. He's very grounded and kind of understated. And a lot of people on this show in general in seasons past and this year tend to play things really, really big and almost cartoonish. And you need somebody serious and simple at the center of it to make that work. And he provides a lot of that, as does the great character actor Glenn Turman, who's one of my favorites and is the best thing in this season.
Fargo starts September 27th on FX. Let's go to The Good Lord Bird, based on James McBride's book of the same name. It stars Ethan Hawke as John Brown, the abolitionist, Daveed Diggs as Frederick Douglass, newcomer Joshua Caleb Johnson as a character called Onion. And it's based on the real story of John Brown, the abolitionist, who raided an armory at Harper's Ferry to try to create a revolt of enslaved people. Brown is quite a character. He is a big character. What do you make of Hawke's performance?
It's a very big performance. He might have been better in one or two other things. I don't know. He has certainly never been bigger than this. And it's a lot of fun to watch. And this is a very dark comedy about a national atrocity, which you would not think is necessarily a source for laughs. But the way that he and the creative team, and he helped adapt the book, make it work, is that the laughs are almost entirely at the expense of John Brown himself, who is played as a really ridiculous figure who, you know, stirred up far more trouble than he should have been able to, given, you know, his powers and his resources and all of that. And he's really effective. And every time he is on screen in what's basically a supporting role in the show, it's fantastic. And a lot of the other people are good. It's a very strange show, but very intense and at times incredibly funny. And I really liked it a lot.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of the trailer of Good Lord Bird.
Everybody got God on their side in the war. Trouble is, God ain't telling nobody who he's for.
My name is Captain John Brown! And I am here in the name of the great King of Kings! He is on the side of justice! And you are on the side of chains!
Whatever he believed. Didn't matter if it was true or not. The old man was nuttier than a squirrel turd.
for shameless hypocrisy, America reigns without a rival.
Amen! Amen! Amen!
Jump! Go! Get out!
Lunatic.
It's worth it to see David Diggs' hair as Frederick Douglass. It's the see.
He's a lot of fun in this too. A lot of people are in on the joke of whatever it is that they're doing here, and it works very effectively.
So The Good Lord Bird comes to Showtime on October 4th. Let's talk about Grand Army, a new Netflix drama series. Netflix describes it as five students at the largest public high school in Brooklyn take on a chaotic world as they fight to succeed, survive, break free, and seize the future. How do you feel about high school dramas, this one particularly?
I have mixed feelings about them. I love some of them a lot. Others, you know, are not for me at all. And, you know, as I get older, I feel more and more distant from it. This one I liked an awful lot. I think part of it is because, well, it deals with a lot of really sensational subject matter and in some cases triggering subject matter. There's a story about sexual assault, story about someone coming out of the closet. There's terrorism, violence, racism, a lot of things going on. Despite the fact that all of these are big sort of capital letter, you know, underlined subject matter, it's played very cinema verite, very realistically, very honestly. And so it feels a lot more emotionally potent than some other shows like Netflix's 13 Reasons Why, which was just sort of way over the top melodrama, or even Euphoria, which is a show I like quite a bit. And Zendaya deservedly won that Emmy last night. But that's just a crazy show about, you know, your kids are going to hell. Mm-hmm. This feels a lot more honest and a lot more real and feels very current. And the performances by all the largely unknown young kids playing the leads are terrific.
You are recommending the second season of a Cinemax show, Warrior, based on original concept by Bruce Lee and executive produced by his daughter, Shannon Lee. What's the story here and how does it improve on the first season?
All right, so Warrior is set in 19th century San Francisco, largely in Chinatown. It's about sort of a war between two rival Chinese gangs. It was basically the idea that allegedly Warner Brothers stole from Bruce Lee to make the David Carradine show Kung Fu in the 1970s. In this case, it's got an almost entirely Asian-American cast. They largely perform in English, even though they're playing characters who are speaking in Mandarin and other languages. And so they get to feel sort of very real and fully realized. And the action sequences are fantastic. It's some of the best fight stuff you've seen on TV. Cinemax, for like the last 10 years or so, has been making a handful of great sort of pulpy action shows that are really fun and always much better than they need to be. And this is the last of them. They're getting out of this business. And so this is going to be the last season even. But the few episodes I've seen so far take it on a bigger scale. They really use the characters well. And again, when I watch some of those fight scenes, I really want to pump my fist. And it's operating on a scale that, to revisit what we were talking about earlier, is going to be a hard thing to imagine anyone doing anytime soon, because they've got these big scenes in these huge, elaborate historical sets involving lots of people fighting in close together with hatchets and fists and feet and everything else. And I don't know how you make that show at the moment.
Second season of Warrior will be on Cinemax starting on October 2nd. Alan Sepwal, Chief TV Critic for Rolling Stone. Alan, thanks for all the recommendations in a weird fall season.
My pleasure. Stay safe, everybody.